Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson, and in this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Ariana Odell, a marketing consultant and founder of the marketing agency Airlink Marketing that's had their work featured on sites like Fast Company, Huffington Post, and more. Originally from Seattle, Washington, Ariana traded in her 150 days of rain per year for the digital nomad lifestyle. After college, she worked a couple of PR and marketing-related jobs in New York City and has since been traveling the world, living in places like Spain and South Korea while working with her marketing clients. Now, what I find particularly interesting and admirable about Ariana is that not only does she run a marketing agency, but she somehow finds the time to contribute regularly to major business publications, sites like Inc. Magazine and Fast Company. So on top of all of this, she also runs an Etsy store as another side project. Called Ideas by Ariana, she's made over 800 sales of funny mugs, t-shirts, yoga mats, and blankets. She does a lot of things, but most of all, she does them very well, which is an impressive feat. In this episode, Ariana and I talk about why she decided to quit her day job on a whim and move to Spain a few years ago with only $1,000 in savings, and how that lit a fire that helped her to land her first marketing consulting client within just 2 weeks. We cover her best strategies for growing a personal brand and becoming a writer for sites like Inc. Magazine and Fast Company, including the exact email outreach strategies that landed her those columns. We dive into her most actionable tactics for landing consulting clients, how she's grown her Etsy shop, her best advice for side hustlers looking to go full-time, and more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Ariana Odell. Ariana, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm pumped to be chatting with you. You're someone that I've known digitally for so long, but is our first time connecting over audio. So, you know, to kick this interview off, I would be remiss if I did not ask you the first question that I ask all my guests on the show. So, Ariana, what is the book that you're reading right now, or what has been a favorite of yours recently?
I'm reading, it's a biography about Rick Springfield. So I just got started on that. And my favorite book so far, good question. That would probably be Losing My Virginity by Richard Branson. That was just such an inspirational read that he just came from nothing and built this huge empire going around the world in a hot air balloon. So that's one of my favorites.
Very relatable lifestyle, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So Ariana, right now, I know you're based out of New York City, but I also know that you're a really big fan of traveling and working remotely from different spots around the world. Why you do that? So where do you personally identify as home these days?
So right now I'm based in New York City, and that's my current home. I spent the last year bouncing around from Europe to Asia, and most recently I was in Korea for about 8 months. And I would say Korea is and New York, I'm here right now for business, and I'll be here for the next 6 months, but hoping to go back to Korea.
Oh, wow. Were you in Seoul?
Yeah, I was in Seoul. Have you had a chance to go?
No, I haven't. It is high on my list. Would that be one of your favorite cities that you've been to then? Since you spent so much time.
Yeah, definitely. Seoul, it was really amazing. The design aesthetic there was really interesting to me, just being in the design space. The people were really friendly. Food was so good. The nightlife was really crazy. And there was a lot of things to love about Seoul.
Okay, it's added to my list officially. So going back in time a little bit now, do you remember your first project, product, or you know maybe even service that you offered that you'd consider a business of your own?
The first product. So for my current business or just in life in general?
Let's go life in general.
Life in general, it'd probably be when I was living down a dirt road and we were trying to figure out how to make money in the summer. And we decided we were going to have a car wash down dirt road. And our parents said, no one's ever going to pay for that service. They're just going to get their car dirty coming out. But then we were able to, I think maybe people felt sorry for us, but that was kind of my first foray into entrepreneurship.
That's a very ironic offering. I love that. So what came next? I'm assuming this was kind of a, you know, like childhood business. What came next after, you know, you grow up, you start going to school? Where did you go to school?
I went to school at the University of Washington, and I had always kind of dabbled in kind of like hustle-oriented things. I used to try and win radio contests and then try and resell the prizes on eBay. I started selling goods at farmers markets, just a bunch, anything that I thought was a good idea, I would just go for it and try and see if I could make some money from it. But yeah, then went to school at the University of Washington, and then after there, kind of put my entrepreneurial dreams on hold for a little bit. Went to school, got an office job, cranked away at that for a couple of years.
And what was that first job you got out of school? What were you doing?
Yeah, the first job was, it was a marketing agency based in Seattle, Washington. And we had a chance to work with a lot of amazing clients, anything from Real Networks to Hoover Vacuums, Eileen Fisher, Women's Clothing, luxury commercial real estate, assisted living facilities. So kind of got to dabble in a bunch of different things. And it was great because my boss gave me a hands-on experience where I got to try out of a lot of different hats and see which part of marketing that I really found interesting. So that was kind of my first job, marketing position.
Yeah. Now, you know, looking at your trajectory, the dots are really starting to connect for me. So today you are primarily a marketing consultant. So, you know, what more specifically do you do and for what kinds of clients?
Yeah, sure. So we've worked with a number of clients over the years since I started my own marketing agency, but we help clients get more exposure and awareness in blogs and publications. So helping them with their PR outreach. We also do a lot on the content marketing side of things, helping clients develop their digital strategies, helping them create things like blog content, infographics, and then other design projects like websites or conference collateral, kind of the broad spectrum of marketing. We have a really great team of designers and developers that help with a lot of the different things that we're working on.
So it sounds like you coordinate a lot of different things behind the scenes, right? So, you know, designers, developers, client outreach, like all these big sort of business-y things. What led to the decision for you to go into working for yourself, doing marketing consulting versus staying at an agency?
Yeah, definitely. So I was at an agency for a while, and I had moved to New York after the agency, found another job out here. Not another job, I guess. I bounced around a little bit, found a couple jobs, track positions. Was working for a medical tech company, and it was really interesting. I had a performance review, and I remember before the performance review, they gave me this questionnaire, like 5 questions, and one of them was just, "Are you happy?" And I remember sitting there thinking, am I happy? I have this presentation for the performance review about how awesome I am, where I'm going in the company. And I just thought about that question, like, what do I say to them? Do I lie? Like, how do I answer this? And then by the time I got into my performance review, I realized I wasn't happy. And I told them, I don't want to lead you guys on. Like, I love you guys, but this just isn't the right job for me. I ended up kind of quitting on a whim. Remember, called my mom from the parking lot. And like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I don't have any money saved up. So then I decided to move to Spain, where rent was going to be a lot less expensive than New York City, just to give me some time while I figured things out. I literally had no savings. I think I had maybe like $1,000 credit card limit. So I booked a trip to Spain, started building a website with that really small investment, and then just started hustling up clients from people I had known over the years. And started offering the marketing services that I had been providing for companies in-house.
Wow. Oh my God. I got to say major props to you for first of all, having that profound of a realization that you're stuck in this job that you didn't like, that you weren't happy with, but then actually doing something about it, right? So I know so many people that spend months, years just complaining and not, you know, even laying the framework for something that could come next. So first of all, kudos to you. But my first follow-up question on what you just said was, how long did it take you to land that first client after you started working on your website? I assume you had to do some outreach to warm those relationships back up. So, you know, what was your gap period time looking like?
Yeah, so I can't really attribute this to skill because I think I just got pretty lucky. I just reached out to a bunch of people and the gap was probably only maybe 2 weeks. I had one client who he believed in me. He knew that I didn't have a traditional PR background, but he thought that I could help with his efforts. So I got lucky with one client really just putting that faith in me and saying, I think you can do a great job of this. And he was my first client out of the gate.
Wow, that's awesome. So, you know, moving forward a little bit more, let's say jumping ahead maybe a year. So you've been doing marketing consulting for, you know, 6 months, a year, you're in Spain, maybe you've moved elsewhere. But how did your client acquisition process sort of grow and evolve over the course of that first year? I assumed you began working with people that were just beyond, you know, established old relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing over the years that I've done a lot of is networking, and not for the sake of necessarily that I wanted something out of it. I just thought it was interesting to meet people, see what they were doing, hear about their projects. So I'd kind of created this network of different people in different professional fields, and also kind of created it digitally because I've been writing articles on the internet for a while, met people through Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. So then honestly, when I started a company, I just posted on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all these things like, hey guys, just started a marketing agency. I can help you with XYZ projects. And that actually, there was a lot of referrals from that. And then just following up with people, not for the sense of, hey, I want to do business with you, just following up like, hey, how's it going? because I, at that point, I had a lot more free time. So I wanted to see how all my friends were doing. I'd been working so much that I hadn't been able to catch up with them. And things just kind of happen naturally. I wouldn't say I'm a very good salesperson. It's more of when someone's working on or has a need for a marketing project, it's just something I naturally get excited about. And I think they can get a sense of the excitement and know that that could translate into their project.
Yes, I love everything you just said. And I actually really want to highlight one thing in particular was that you said that you really just sort of build relationships with people without an agenda, right? So you don't need some sort of specific transaction to happen in the next week or month, right? It's just kind of a checking in with people, right? There doesn't have to be an agenda every time you reach out to someone. So would you say that that has been one of your better investments over the years?
I would say so. It's been a good investment for business and personally too, just to have this network of people doing really awesome things around me. So yeah, just I think for me, I also understand with an agenda. So I try never to do that to other people because I'd rather see them as a person first and what they're working on second. And if there's an opportunity to work together, then I think it naturally kind of comes about without kind of forcefully selling yourself.
What's your advice to someone who wants to get started with freelancing today? And maybe they don't have the relationships. They have some skills. They have a little bit of experience, work experience. But where do they start if they don't know someone who can immediately give them business? What do they do?
That's a good question. I would say if you don't feel like you have the network or the experience, I know a lot of people will say don't do anything for free ever. But sometimes I just give people ideas and then that progresses into a business arrangement. For example, if you're a graphic designer and say there's a website that you really love and you think they could use a new Facebook banner on their page or they could use a new email header, maybe just make one. This is just an idea I had. I'd love to see what are some of your other needs and help you with these types of, maybe just write a quick blog post. Things like be extremely effective. Even, for example, when I was hiring internally at the companies I worked at, you get so many resumes of just people, just standard resumes, nothing really stands out. And if you just mm-hmm. put in 5% more effort and show the person how you can help them, at the end of the day, no one is going to judge you based on your history, your credentials. Maybe some people will, but there's so many people out there that they literally just need someone to help them. And if you can help them, they will hire you.
That is such great advice. So shifting gears now a little bit, Ariana, you're a contributor to some of the biggest business publications out there, Fast Company, Inc. Magazine. How did you originally land, maybe if you want to focus on one of those columns, how did you sort of make that happen originally?
Yeah, so I had a PR background where internally at companies, I was helping them get exposure and awareness for whatever projects they were working on. I had ghostwritten for a lot of CEOs, so some of my work had appeared in these publications, and it actually took me years of having the confidence to be able to say, hey, these publications might actually care what I have to say. So I think one day I just kind of got the nerve up to send a pitch, much like I was doing for a lot of clients and getting results for clients, but putting myself in the pitch and saying, hey, this is my background, this is my experience. Would you be interested in a post about digital nomadism? Or I think that was the first one about how I built a business while traveling. And the editor happened to say yes, and that was just such a nice opportunity. But it took me a lot of years to be able to feel comfortable with saying, hey, my writing could be in one of these things, even though it kind of already was with someone else's film.
Did you reach out to the editor directly, or were you submitting to kind of like the contributors at ink.com sort of email address?
So I think, remember Ink rejected me the first time. I submitted their form, and then this time, a couple years later, they accepted me, but that was after I had written a few pieces for Fast Company. But originally, I think I reached out to the editor for that.
Cool. That's something. The reason I asked is because it's something that I've always personally had way more success with messaging editors or other writers, even individually, instead of just submitting into those big giant mailboxes that I can imagine get thousands of emails a day.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's better to also email the editor. And when we're working with the clients, we usually email the editor. But it was kind of random. One day I was having a really bad day, and everything was going wrong, and for some reason, I just signed up for like all of the sites like Ink and Forbes and submitted all of their contact things. And then Ink got back to me a month later, and I'd already forgotten about it because it wasn't the intentional thing I was doing that day. I was just irritated about something else, and for some reason just said, hey, I'm going to put myself in these things.
Very serendipitous. So has being consistent with your writing for these different sites, Fast Company, Ink, led to any sort of like direct business results for you? Have new clients discovered your content and reached out to you as a result of that?
Yeah, and that's been really great because what I try and do is write about topics that I'm passionate about or topics that I think can help other people. So sometimes people will see the advice and reach out and say, hey, that sounds interesting. Maybe you could help us with our marketing strategy as well. So yeah, it's definitely paid dividends in the return business, and also the credibility that people see, hey, you're writing for these publications. You must know something, or like 1% of something. So that's been cool just to see that you're taking a little more seriously when you can say like you've written for XYZ, whether or not like what the writing is actually about. I feel like just having those, being able to attach yourself to a bigger brand can help give you more credibility.
Yeah. It's a way to differentiate yourself from, you know, the sea of other people who are out there as consultants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So Ariana, alongside running your marketing consulting agency and writing for all these different publications, you also have a side project called Ideas by Ariana. It's an Etsy shop with almost 800 sales. You've got a lot of punny mugs, t-shirts, yoga mats, blankets, products like that. So when did you start this Etsy store?
Yeah, so that's an interesting story. I was with a friend, and you know, when you've had a few, all your ideas are great. And I said to her, I said, Chelsea, these ideas, these are so good. And it was like, it was something that said like, you're the apple of my pie, and like, ain't nobody got time for cat or like just all these things that were pretty. The next day I was like, these are pretty stupid, but hey, I'm going to make these anyways because it was funny and it was entertaining. And then I remember I posted it to Facebook, and then one of my friends ended up buying it, and I thought, oh wow, my ideas are so good. Like, I sold one of these mugs, and then I made probably about like 400 products that were probably flops. But it was that initial momentum that I thought, yeah, this is really fun. This is cool. I'm just going to make a bunch of products and put them out there and see what people think. And along the way, people started buying stuff, which has been really cool.
Has the shop continued on as kind of just a little fun side project, or is this something that you're really, you know, investing in time or even money into growing?
Yeah, so I'm really interested in growing it because I think this is one of the things that makes me the happiest is being able to make products and seeing people get a product on their Instagram, or the fact that they have something that came out of my head in their house. I think that's probably the best compliment anyone could ever give me. for me, that's probably the thing that makes me happiest in life is, hey, I made this, and oh, someone else likes it too.
So you mentioned that in the early days with the Etsy shop, that friends, right? Friends were buying stuff from you. How has that changed? And, you know, maybe another way to approach this question is, what's been your biggest growth channel for getting more sales?
Yeah, definitely. So it was friends in the beginning, and I mean, friends have bought things, and I don't know if they actually like it or they just want to support my store, but it's shifted away from friends to people on the internet that have the same sense of humor. And the biggest product sellers, sorry, what was the question? The product sellers or the biggest channel?
Yeah, growth channels for getting more sales.
Oh yeah, the biggest growth channels has been definitely Etsy, just because they have that marketplace of kind of where the demographic I'm trying to reach is already on there. Amazon has been great. I set up a Shopify store as well, but I would say Etsy and Amazon are my biggest distribution channels for those types of products.
I love it. All right. Well, Ariana, we're getting close to the end of this interview, so I want to transition over to a few of my frequently asked questions for you. What would you say is your single best piece of advice to someone who's listening today and wants to take their side hustle and turn it into a full-time gig for themselves?
Yeah, I would say just to start taking small steps today, just doing something. I talk to so many people that say, hey, like, I love your store, I love what you're doing, or I want to do it too. And I'm really excited. And I say, great, like, just make one mug, like, make one idea, do one thing. And I think in the past 2 years, there's only been maybe two people that have actually, like, developed something after that initial, hey, I want to do this too. So I think just taking the plunge, starting small, pretty much 99% of the things I do are not very good, like design wise for my store, but it's the 1% that's going to sell and make a return. And it's the same thing for any business, is you're going to make a lot of mistakes, and you just have to keep trying and putting yourself out there and failing over and over until something actually works.
That is great advice. What kinds of sacrifices have you had to make in order to put enough time and effort into your businesses over the years?
Sacrifices. I would say it doesn't feel like a sacrifice, just because I'm happier now than I was when I was working 12-hour days. sacrifices, I guess. I'm making a consistent, steady paycheck. Oh, definitely insurance. I sacrificed when I was getting things going for a while. So that would be one sacrifice.
Do you have any particular strategies, tactics, or ideas that you've tested that come to mind that ended up being a failure?
A lot of, I think there's a lot of products in the store that people didn't really think was funny. A lot of times I think puns and things like that are pretty funny, but a lot of the general population actually doesn't think it's as funny. So a lot of times I'll make a product and show it to people. I made one that was a, what was it? It was a mug for vegans that said, plant eater, watch out, Choi, she'll chew you up. And that was supposed to be like the Hall & Oates song. Nobody. Meanwhile,
I think it's hilarious, for the record.
I'm sitting over here cracking up that it's so funny. But I think, yeah, the product store, like a lot of things have flopped, and those things just naturally go to the bottom and people don't see them anyways. But marketing wise, I've worked on a number of things that I just made a website once called PDF on Demand, where you could get a PDF turned around in 24 hours or less. And for whatever reason, I think we had one customer, and I had spent months building out this site and building the infrastructure for it. And that was just a complete flop.
All right. I like it. Well, Ariana, this is going to be my last question for you. What's been the best investment you feel you've ever made in the context of growing one of your businesses? And this could be in the form of time, money, tools, product, services, education, or otherwise.
Sure. I think the best investment has probably been in people. The people that I work with on design projects, content projects, web development projects, they're the ones that are making the agency run. I'm just kind of putting the pieces together, but investing in people and taking time to find the right people that you work really well with, I think is something that is, no matter what industry, that's just so crucial to building a business. So I would say, yeah, just the investment of hiring people that you get along with, investing in training them and investing in them as people, and not just a paycheck or someone that's going to help you make money.
I love it. I feel like this is kind of a recurring theme here, is that people are people and relationships are gold.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something they don't really tell you in school. It's just once you are out in the business world networking more, you see that the returns that come from actually just being a nice person, karma actually does work after all.
Well, I think that's an awesome point to wrap this up on. So, Ariana, where can everyone listening today go to learn more about you, all the different projects that you're up to, and find you online?
Yeah, definitely. I'm at Ariana on Twitter. I got that handle back in the day, so I'm over there. And then my website's Airlink Marketing. So it's airlinkusa.com. And my email address is ariana@airlinkusa.com. And feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to help with whatever you're working on.
Awesome. All right. Well, Ariana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode of The Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of The Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.